Right, and I have got the recording on. I need to give you some ground rules before we get started, and after we do that, we'll go. Hopefully today will be a little bit shorter than normal, but it may not. I've promised you that before, and I've not kept it too often. So, as I say, you may not say it quite this way, but I was in the Army. I've been lied to before, and so you understand that. I will try to keep this as concise as possible. There are several things that you need to know. We'll be going at our pace, not at my pace. And so if we need to linger on one of the sessions, we will. If we haven't exhausted all that we want to, we can. And so that opportunity will be there. On Wednesday nights, I will be leading us through what I'm calling a 2020 vision. I mean, next year is 2020. What other time can I do this but now? And so strike while the iron's hot, they say. So I'm going to be leading us through a process called 2020 vision. It's based on a process, not on a template or anything. I'll explain that more. But it's based on a process from a book that I got from Church Unique. Somebody asked me, do we have to buy the book? The answer is no. Unless you love leadership theory, or you want to know some of the things behind the scenes that I'm doing, I would say you don't need to buy the book or get the book. I won't be referring to the book much. The reason why I bring it up to you today is I want you to know that most of what I'm getting, that I'm going to give to you and lead us through, is from this book. And so I don't want you to think, you may not ever have thought this, but I don't want you to go out of here saying, wow, my pastor is a genius, he ought to write a book. Somebody else wrote the book. I've just read it and studied it and practiced it, okay? So this is my one time of giving credit where credit is due. You need to know I'm not plagiarizing, but I may not mention this book again. I won't bring it here. But I'm leading us through this process that I learned from this book and from Will Mancini and some of the people in their network. Shortly after I went through this, the Southern Baptist Convention Lifeway bought out the rights to Oxano. And so this is now part of Southern Baptist, our own fiefdom. But before I did this, it was just Leadership Network put this together. And so it's a good book. I won't mention it again. You don't need it unless you just want it. And there it is. So what's going to happen is on Wednesday nights, I'll carry us through one session or a part of a session. It'll be feedback. It won't be all lecture. In fact, lots of it will be interaction. Especially as we go farther in, we're going to spend more time together. So it's a collaborative effort. We're going to collaborate together. And then on Thursday mornings, I will get up. That's usually the time that I write my blog. I haven't blogged much this summer, and I'm sorry for that. But on Thursday mornings, I will write the blog on what we covered the night before, and it will be posted to our website. Also, we're recording, and the recording will be posted to the website. So if at any time you miss, or you just want to go over it again or something like that, they'll be available on the next day, Thursday, by afternoon. You'll have that opportunity. And then the following week, I'll recap for about 5 minutes, just to catch us up to where we are. So if you miss an opportunity, you won't miss the whole flow of where we're going. So that's what we're doing. That's where we're going. That's the book that I got this from. I am very excited. I love studying about leadership. And of all the things, all the tools that I've read about or studied for leadership in the local church, this is by far the best one. You're going to hear some of my own thinking in this only because I've done this before, and so it's even changed the way that I approach leadership all the time. So there'll be things that you hear me say that you'll be like, oh yeah, we've already heard you say stuff like that. And so you'll see where that comes from. And then also, there's something else that's going to be going on while we're doing this. I'm going to be actually teaching you a new language, not English. But I'm going to be using some words that we're going to use over and over and over again. And by the end of our progress together, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about when I say it. So if I say something that sounds like a technical term early on, realize that I'll try to explain it. But as we do this together, you'll catch up and you'll be sick of hearing those kinds of words by the end of it. But there's a special language. And that leads me to the 2020 vision. The whole idea is that we become the church that God wants us to be. So I want you just for a second to look around the room. I want you to look at one another. It's okay if you make eye contact. This is a safe spot. I want you to look at the people that are here. And what I want you to do is, as you look at the people that are here, I want you to think, my, how different we all are. All right, so that's what I want you to think. Look at Russ Ashfall back there. He's very different. There he is. And Dan's right there next to him. He's different as well. And Brother Carl Comer wearing that North Carolina State red shirt there. That's very different. And so, I'm not going to get a witness for that. But we're all different. But it's not just a matter of being different. It's a matter of that each one of us, especially now that we've been saved, that we belong to Jesus, and that He has given us gifts, each one of us brings something to this church that would not be here if we weren't here. So sitting in this room tonight, sitting in this room tonight is a collection of people that will never be the same again. You say, well, what if we just took roll and had exactly the same people here? That won't work, because we are being changed daily too. We're growing with the Lord. We're also changing with circumstances that are going on in our lives. So not again will we replicate this group of people here. But what God has done is He's taken each one of us and the many more that belong to us that aren't here tonight. He's taken us all and He's put us together in a body called First Baptist of Concord. And this body is absolutely different than every other body on the face of this earth. And as He's put us together, He's done it so that we can accomplish what He has planned for us. Not what we have planned, but what He has planned. So what our goal is for the next 3 or 4 months, as we go through this week after week, what our goal is to discover who God has made us to be and what He wants us to do. And it's going to be absolutely different from every other church that's on the face of the earth. He wants us to be us and to be good at it. So, let me just show you a few things and then we'll go through some of this together. So, 2020 vision, being the church God designed us to be. So this is the question. This is where we're going with this. What has God designed, equipped, and prepared us to do for the sake of the kingdom? What's our role in the kingdom? You'll hear me ask this question another time, but I'll ask it now just to kind of get your mind going. If First Baptist stopped existing tomorrow, if for some reason we stopped existing tomorrow, would Concord and Cabarrus County miss us? Are we making an impact where we are to such an extent that if we were to go away, people would miss us? Now, that question will be answered multiple times over as we move through this. But that's really what does God want from us? What is our role in this kingdom? And that's where we're going. And by the way, once we come up with this, this is going to define what we're doing. This is going to help us give shape to everything else that we do alongside of it. So this is the way we're going. All right. Who has ever been to Canton, Ohio? Anybody ever been to Canton, Ohio? We've got a few folks here. What is Canton, Ohio known for? The National Football Hall of Fame. I want to show, man, and something else? I'm at Malone College. I did not know that. But the National Football Hall of Fame. I want to show you two shirts. So what happens at the Hall of Fame? Some of you may think, well, that's just a place for the best players to be, and so they get a bronze bust put in there. Those best players, and that is true. They're there, but there are all kinds of other achievements and accomplishments that go in. Sometimes as partial or temporary displays, and sometimes they go in and they stay there, these Hall of Fame displays. I'm going to show you two from early on in last season, so 2018 season. Those are two shirts that were put in the Hall of Fame. On the left-hand side is Patrick Mahomes. He is a second-year quarterback, was a second-year quarterback last year for Kansas City Chiefs. He was the first player ever to throw 10 touchdown passes in the first 2 weeks of the season. So 10 touchdowns in those 2 weeks. And so that's what that display is. So if you were to go into the Hall of Fame mid-season last year, you would see his jersey there with that discussion of why he's there. It's a Hall of Fame moment. On the right-hand side is a guy by the name of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yes, that's a Buccaneers jersey. That's a Buccaneers jersey there. One of the only few that's in the Hall of Fame, actually. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, who wasn't even the starter overall, he started the first couple of games. He was the first player ever in NFL history to throw three consecutive 400-yard games. And so they asked for his shirt, and they displayed his jersey there. So those were Hall of Fame type moments. And those are just two of many, many. One of my favorite players, I had his picture up and I took it down. One of my favorite players is there. He's not my favorite player necessarily because he was a great player, but Pat Tillman was a very good safety defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals. And instead of taking his $3.8 million salary for the next year, he quit right after 9/11 and joined with his brother, the Army. He became a Ranger, deployed to Iraq, had a successful tour there, came back, went to Ranger School, graduated, went back to join his group in Afghanistan, and was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. And so his jersey is there. So those are Hall of Fame moments, things that the NFL wants to remember, things that the NFL wants to say, this is what shaped us. So the question then becomes for us, what would you say are some of our Hall of Fame moments? Now, it doesn't have to be, notice that none of those guys that I just mentioned, Pat Tillman, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Patrick Mahomes, none of those guys, they all have Patrick in them. I just noticed that. I didn't mean that at all. But none of those guys, we would say, are in the Hall of Fame. So none of them have a bust there. None of them are Hall of Famers. But all of them have done things that are worthy of being included in the Hall of Fame. So here's the question I'm going to ask you. What are some of the Hall of Fame moments for First Baptist Church of Concord?
Starting
another church. Tell me about that.
Well, somebody been here longer than me to tell you more about that.
All right. So somebody tell me about our starting other churches. By the way, you're not going to be able to read this necessarily. This is at the end of this. I'm going to take a picture, take it back, and write all this down. This is how I'm taking notes. So if you don't read my handwriting or whatever, don't worry. I can. So somebody tell me about starting churches.
Well, we started McGill Baptist Church. I couldn't tell you when, but that was one of them. Another one was Providence Baptist Church in Harrisburg. We left First Baptist in the early 60s and go out there as charter members and stayed there for 15 years. And you see where Providence is if you go to Harrisburg today. There was another church, and I can't remember what it was.
Emmanuel Baptist.
Emmanuel Baptist. Yeah.
And then Young Street. Didn't you say Young Street?
Young Street. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I know your voice, but sometimes you don't have to be drawn attention to it. That's why there's somebody.
But you're pointing at
me. I know, because you
said me. It was me. Oh, it was me.
Where is Emmanuel? I don't know that church.
It's on the corner of Miller and Spring.
Is it an E or an I? Yes. All right. So starting other churches. So we're recording If you can speak up, do it. If not, I'll repeat it. You say, why do you keep repeating our answers? So it's all captured on the recording. So the first Hall of Fame moment is starting other churches. I'm assuming that all of those were intentional church spots and not what we call the Southern Baptist Convention a church start, which is really a church split. So we intentionally went about starting those churches. Very good. All right, somebody else. Another Hall of Fame. And this was in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
60s, yeah.
60s and 70s.
We had a Korean minister for, 5 years?
What happened to the Korean ministry? Did it move out? Did they go start a church somewhere?
In Charlotte.
They went to Charlotte?
Yeah, they got big enough to move out.
All right. But they started here?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody else, another Hall of Fame moment.
When we moved here.
I was baptized in 1941.
Here. All right, that's a Hall of Fame moment. Miss Margaret says she was baptized here in 1941. Not here, but there, here. Yeah, that's right. Very good. How many of you were saved and baptized in the ministry of First Baptist Church? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Very good, Miss Carol. Very good. Wow.
Does McGill count with that?
Sure. All right, good. There you go. Very good. All right. So an ongoing ministry of the gospel. All right. Another one. Miss Willie, I'm going to pick on you. Tell me what you told me Sunday.
Operation Inasmuch, 2000. Yes.
All right. So Operation Inasmuch, 2000.
That was our first year, and we had about six, seven of them.
We reached out to the community and did things for people that really weren't involved in our church.
Right. So what makes that a Hall of Fame? I mean, I agree, but what makes it, what would make you say that's a Hall of Fame moment?
Because it's an outreach.
It was an outreach. We were all over town. We had 12 construction projects going on at different places, a roof at a house over close to First Missionary.
The number of people involved.
Miss Peggy got our crew and cleaned houses.
You said there were 200 that year.
There were about 200 that were involved.
They painted houses too, because Michael painted.
Regularly.
All right. Very good. Somebody else, another Hall of Fame moment, something that you would say if we had our own church Hall of Fame and we had a display there, it would say about us. Or you could say this, if you're talking about our church to a friend or something like that, what would you say? This is our thing. This is what we're proud of. That love for one another.
I think the hosting of the sports banquets.
Love for one another, hosting of the sports banquets. Hosting.
Man church.
Sports.
That's cool. Yeah, man church. Man church.
Thanksgiving. Banquets.
I think our mission trips too.
Mission.
Sounds of Sarah.
Trips. Man church.
Mission first last year.
Our mission first offering. I would say that was a big deal.
That was cool.
So Vacation Bible School, reaching out, not just for our own folks, but for the community. By the way, if you weren't here Sunday, let me just give you the numbers for that. We had 76 enrolled, and 60 of those 76 were not from our church. So that's a significant, that's a big deal. Any others?
I think start in preschool.
Preschool.
Yeah, ABC preschool.
That's starting.
Jim, I remember when we had, you remember Bible Man?
Yeah.
We had a Bible Man concert here that had over 750 youth and kids in our sanctuary. That's pretty amazing.
How long ago was that? 20 years?
No, I hadn't been here that long.
I didn't mean that bad. You're like,
no, I wouldn't have been here.
I wouldn't have been here.
Probably 10 or 12 years.
Probably 10, 12 years.
About
15. Yeah.
15 years.
But that was amazing. I've never seen that sanctuary that full. So that was pretty cool.
By the way, that was that dude was Willie Ames
from
Eight Is Enough and Charles in Charge. By the way. All right, any others?
No, I remember.
Sound? I heard that before. Sounds of what now?
Seraphim?
The Burning Ones?
Yeah.
I know what albums are. Yes, sir.
I would say the hiring of the current staff that we have.
All right. All right. Well, good. That's a good place to start. And say, what are you going to do with all that? Well, today, we're not going to do anything with it, but we are going to revisit it. Because what you're going to be able to see is the things that well, let me just tell you a leadership maxim. What you celebrate, you replicate. So the things that you celebrate, the things that are big deals in your church, the things that you get excited about, and we do, those are the things that are replicated throughout. Because what you're doing is you're saying, these are positives in our church, and if we hold them up as positives, those who may not have even witnessed those things will say, well, if that is what a positive is, let's do it again. Let's be a part of it. So we'll revisit some of this as we go. I told you I'll take a picture of it later. But now, we can turn it over for a second, and we will continue. Thank you for your input, by the way. Those are good things. And these are mason jars. They may not look like mason jars, but that's what they are. A pumpkin farmer, by the way, do you know that there's a pumpkin farm pumpkin patch between here and my house down that road? And so I like watching those things progress. In fact, he was out there messing with them a couple of weeks ago. Myron and I saw him, and now you can see the plants are getting bigger out there. But those are mason jars. One day a pumpkin farmer was walking through his pumpkin patch, and they were just barely starting to grow. Acorn-sized fruit on those plants as they were coming up. And so the farmer was walking along, inspecting all of that, and he ran across a mason jar, just like this. And he thought, I wonder what would happen if I put one of those pumpkins in a mason jar. And so he went over there and threaded the baby pumpkin into that pumpkin jar, and then kept going. And months went by, and he forgot all about his little experiment. But then, when he was going back through that same patch, and he was looking at now some humongous, beautiful pumpkins, ones that would be fitting of a pumpkin pie or a state fair or all kinds of other things, he remembered and he ran across the one that he had put in that jar. Do you know what he found?
A
mason jar shaped pumpkin?
He found a mason jar with a pumpkin in it. The mason jar was completely filled up by that pumpkin, but the pumpkin was only one-third the size of all the rest of the pumpkins. All the other pumpkins grew to their normal size, but because that one had a thin layer of glass around it, it kept it right where it was. There are barriers that churches put on themselves when they don't know what God has for them. Remember, God has a plan. All those pumpkins, you could say, well, church growth, we don't want to do church growth. I'm just telling you, God has a plan for churches. We may be, I don't know what it is. I don't know, maybe we're there, maybe we're not, I don't know that. But what I do know is God has a plan for churches. Every church, He's got a plan for. Often, though, just like He has a plan for pumpkins, if you let a pumpkin go, it's going to get about this big. Now, I've seen the one on Guinness Book of World Records where it's like, you know, they took a crane to put it in there. That's not a normal pumpkin. Like, you're not going to go plant pumpkins in your backyard and expect that thing. You're going to expect a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern, you know. So, by the way, if a pumpkin ever rots, don't break it open. It stinks like you wouldn't believe. We had somebody donate a flat full of pumpkins at the first church I was at. And we kept it. Everybody wanted one could have one. But then there was one of those big boxes with a pallet on it with pumpkins left. And we left them. And so then we decided it was time for us to take them out and put them in the dumpster. And as we carried them out, I dropped one. And that thing split open. And it was horrible. It was nasty. But I digress. So God has a plan for pumpkins. But this farmer put this artificial barrier around it, and it kept the pumpkin, the pumpkin actually just grew to be shaped like a mason jar. It didn't break through the jar, it just stopped growing. That was it. Often, through decisions that we make, sometimes, just because we don't try to find out what God wants from us, we end up putting barriers on our churches. And there are all kinds of different barriers. I went through some of them. Those were the think holes, if y'all remember, if you were here on Sunday with me in here, deacons and church council. I'm not going to go through all those. But just suffice to say that there are things that churches do which limit their effectiveness. It stops them. On the back of that board are all kinds of Hall of Fame moments. And those things should be regularities. They should be the habit. If God created us to do that, we ought to be doing it. It would be one thing after another. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy and sweet all the time. I don't mean that. But I do mean that if we know what God wants from us and we follow after what He wants, using the giftedness that He's already given to us, those kinds of things would multiply in numerous ways. We would see God's will be done through us in all kinds of ways. I would say that we see people come to Christ because you can't be who God wants you to be and not see disciples made and replicated. That's what He wants from us. And so if we'll do what He wants, He's going to provide that kind of produce. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing as we rethink this vision, as we rethink the future, is we're going to try to identify some of these mason jars that we put around ourselves and bust through them. Get rid of those things that would keep us right here. Does that make sense? So that's really what we're talking about when we're rethinking vision. So when I say vision, don't think some kind of mystical thing where you're like, oh, well, we're going to go read the tea leaves or something else. That's all hogwash. What we really need to be doing is finding out what God wants from us. And that's part of this process. Now, I'll just tell you, we can go through this whole process for a year, and we can come up with everything that we want on paper and say, this is what we believe God wants us to do. This is us. And then if we go and we put it in a drawer somewhere and don't live by it, it's not going to make any difference. How many of you were in industry of some kind or are in industry of some kind in the work world out there? If you work somewhere, I don't mean you have to be producing something. You can be a school teacher. But you had a job outside of here. I see Michael Houston back there laughing. You just get rid of parts that people don't need, right? Gallbladders and appendixes. Yeah, I'm curious. Although Sunday you said you could take them out with your eyes closed. So you've worked out in the world. Most of you, if you worked for a successful company, you knew two things. You knew what your company was about, and you knew what you were supposed to do in your company. Now, an unsuccessful company, often, you'll just know what you're supposed to do, but you won't know how you fit. A lot of Christians are like that. We know what we're supposed to do, but we don't know how we fit. One of the most sad things that I've experienced, and it hasn't been once, maybe three times a year since I've been in the ministry, I've had a saint, senior saint often, somebody who has trusted Christ, been baptized, reared in the church, been in the church for a long, long time. They'll respond to one of my altar calls, one of the times of invitation. They'll come up to me and they'll say something like this: "Pastor Jim, this sermon really convicted me that I'm not doing what God wants me to be doing. Will you tell me how I fit in our church? What can I do?" You see, what happens is most churches nowadays have given everything to their staff to do, or their staff has taken everything for them to do. It goes both ways. But the end is this: the staff is doing all the work, the people are showing up on Sunday, and then when they're convicted about being a part of what God has for them, they don't know how to do it. And what's worse is the staff doesn't know how to tell them to do it. This exercise, starting now and going forward, should help us realize if what we're doing — I'm just going to use an example, something that came up in our Hall of Fame moments. By the way, we're not nearly ready for what I'm about to do. But let's say that we're looking to see what the pattern is of God working in our church and using us. And let's say that we see that church planting is what God wants from us. We've already done it 3, 4, 6 times. There are communities all around North Carolina and even around the world. There are communities all over the place that don't have a gospel witness. Maybe God would have us go put a gospel witness somewhere. That's a bold thing. That's a pretty neat thing. It's a lot of fun to do if it's what God wants you to do. And it's possible that what God would do for each one of us is give us a part in that church planting process. What I mean by that is there will be some who will go in and canvass. They'll be the ones that go door to door. I know that there are folks — Brother Carl has told me — there are folks here who are used to that kind of evangelism outreach. And so if we had to do it, I bet I could have a show of hands and we'd have 6 or 10 people say, "Yeah, I can do that. I'll go door to door." There'll be others who, with their gifting is hospitality. They would love to receive people. And so what their job is to go into whatever site this church is going to start meeting and set it up so that when people come, they'll feel welcome when they get there. So there's all kinds of things. If that was what God was doing with us, there's all kinds of things where every single Christian belongs. Because what I want you to understand is the anemic, or the state of anemic lack of power in the church today, is because God's people aren't doing what He equipped them to do. And I've just told you, it's not necessarily the people's fault. It could be the staff's fault, the ministers who are leading them. Whatever the reason is, we've got a lot of people who God saved and equipped to be about His kingdom building, sitting on the sidelines, wondering when the pastor is going to do something that's awesome. And so what I'm going to call us to do is to break through those kinds of things, and for all of us to find our place in what God is doing in First Baptist Concord. It's going to be lots of fun. It'll be work. Some of you may not like it. Some of you may be like, "I like sitting on the bench. It was safe on the bench. It was comfortable on the bench. We got a new chiller for the bench." You know, it's kind of, it's cool on the bench. It wasn't cool last Sunday. But anyway, you know what I mean? But I want you to understand that what God is doing with us, and what His design for us is not to be enjoying stuff here, but enjoying one another in the fellowship of the gospel outward.
Amen.
Outward. And so we're going to find all that. So what is this vision? When we talk about rethinking vision, vision is not doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for different results. Does anybody know what that's called?
Insanity.
Insanity. And yet church after church after church, that's what they want. What they want is they want a new pastor or a new staff to come in and not change anything and just with the sheer magnetic personality grow the church by double. And that just doesn't work that way. That doesn't happen. And so it's not doing the same thing over and over and over again hoping for something new. It's also not mimicking other churches. Well, look at that church over there. Maybe we should do it like they do. It means we don't go to Southern California and get Rick Warren's latest program and bring it over here. That doesn't work. In case you've never traveled, I'll just let you in on something. Los Angeles is different than Cabarrus County. Okay, everybody take my word for that? Okay, good. Well, so we're not going out looking for some template to bring here. So when we talk about vision, we're not saying let's do what Parkwood does, or let's do what Pitts does, or let's do what Glorieta does, or let's do what St. James Lutheran does. We're not doing that. We want to hear from God and do what He wants us to do. And so that's what this process is going to be part of. So anyway, vision is not mimicking other churches. It's not following a book or conference's latest buzz. You know, we're not going to go to some conference or buy some book. I was reared in a church. Now, I love my pastor. I still do. I don't talk to him much anymore. In fact, he's got dementia now, and so he's kind of not, doesn't know where he's at in the world. I loved him. He was a great guy. I played football University of Miami, and back before Miami got good, by the way. But anyway, that's not a big deal. So he played at the University of Miami. He's a great fellow. One of the best personal witnesses I've ever met in my entire life. He would remember a name forever. He'd remember everything about you, and he would share the gospel. Many people came to Christ under Brother Chuck's ministry. But he would go to a conference two times a year, and two times a year the church would change its trajectory based on whatever it was that he learned at that conference. I see Brother Tom smiling. You probably understand that concept. Where you're headed this way, and all of a sudden you hear something. Oh, wait, we've got to be over here. And you're going this way. And like, oh, wait, this is a good place to be. This is not. We learned this. And so 10 years down the road, we haven't gotten anywhere except zigzagging back and forth between whatever the latest buzz is. That's not vision. You can't think. Now, I just want you to think about this in big terms. God is not a man that he changes his mind. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so God is not a man that he changes his mind. Or maybe not a woman that he changes her mind. So my mom, I was reared with this from my mom. It's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. Okay. Yes, Mom. I got it. And so she modeled it. So it was good. But God does not change his mind. And so if we think that we have heard from the Lord, now, He does change the way He does things from time to time. The Bible still. So there are seasons. There are some seasons of the Bible where there were miracles galore, and then there are other seasons where they didn't even hear from God. And so there are seasons. But God's not going to tell our church in September to do one thing and in January to do something completely different. Scrap what He told us in September. That's just, we didn't hear from God if that's the case. So, vision is not following a book or conference's latest buzz. Vision is not adapting a template. I already said it. A template that worked in Southern California, or Atlanta, or Memphis, or Charlotte, or even Salisbury. We must find what God wants for our church and do that. Now understand this, there are some neat things that is happening right now in our church. One of them is we are seeing guests come into our church and become members. And both of those are gifts of God. Guests coming in And then them liking us enough and believing in what we're doing enough to say we want to be a part of that. So those are gifts from God. But here's what I want you to understand. I told you at the beginning that... Well, I told you at the beginning that we'll never be the same group in this building again like this. Well, that's true because God is adding people to us all the time. Here's the neat thing. When God brings somebody to us, now I don't... Lots of people say, well, I'm going to that church because I can get fed there. Or I can... that's for me. I feel good there. That's not why God's bringing them here. God's bringing them here because they've got something that will help us do what God wants us to do. But the same is true for each one of you. You are a new creation that God has prepared to put together with us so that we can do what He wants us to do. That's what vision looks like. It is a combined finding God and obeying, doing what He wants us to do. So, the last one, trying the latest trend this year and switching it next year when something else comes along. That's not vision. So, as we do this, we're going to seek to discover vision. We're going to answer several questions. Who are we? Where are we going? By the way, what you're seeing there, the white around it, that's the vision frame. That frame, this is part of the language I'm teaching you. We'll talk more about the vision frame. The frame are some things that never change. I wonder if that works. Nope, it doesn't work. I was hoping I had a little laser here.
Get the middle of the
deal. Oh, yeah, there you go. No, that didn't work. All right. I was excited. So, around the side is a vision frame, and it represents, real quickly, you don't have to remember this, I'll let you know more. On the right-hand side of the frame is your mission. Whatever God has told us to do, that's what's right there. On the left-hand side of the frame, as you look at it, those are your values. Notice that your values aren't going to change. It's doing 4 and 6 statements that talk about what we hold dear, what makes us us, the things that are non-negotiable that we stick with. Along the bottom is what's called the mission map or the strategy. These are the ways that we do what God's told us to do. So you have the what, the mission, you have the why, the values, you have the how or the ways down there with the strategy. And then on the top are what's called the measures, and that's how you know when you're successful. So what every church has been called to make disciples. Every church has been called to make disciples. So, if we are making disciples, what are our disciples going to look like? That's that top bar. And all of that never-changing vision frame, then goes around the vision itself, which is changing. As we move through time, if you notice there, you can almost see that. You can see the road, the road sign there, and then in the background you see the mountains and all of that. That's the best a still picture can show of moving through time. So as we are obedient to the Lord, we're going to move and do what He calls us to do. That's what we're going to be doing. How will we get there? What must we do along the way? So discovering vision. So this is just an exercise. When you dream about church, when you think happy thoughts, when you go to sleep, right before you fall asleep and your eyes are closed and your CPAP machine is going... You say you're picking on us. No, no, I have one. I've had one for several years. I know what it's like. So when you hear that thing and you're closing your eyes, and if you're married, your husband or wife is laying next to you playing some kind of game on an iPad. I'm just making this up as we go along. And you're getting in that twilight zone between awake and asleep, and you're thinking about what the Lord is doing in our lives and in our church. What is it that you dream about for our church? Somebody help me. What do you dream about?
Kids everywhere.
Kids everywhere. Absolutely. Hold on now. Kids everywhere. I was, by the way, I do too. But, and I'm not going to give commentary on all of it, but last week We got a taste of that. And it was wild and crazy and fun. It was good. So absolutely. By the way, it's why I remind us often, especially when a baby cries out or something like that in service, that that's a good sound. Because when we get to that, it's going to be loud and rambunctious. It is now. When they're not here, it's great. When they come, it is great. I agree, but we just need to keep that mindset. That's good. Okay, anyway, what do you dream about?
Young adults in the choir.
Young adults in the choir. Young adults in the choir. Young adults. How about young adults everywhere?
Yeah.
In the choir. All right, what else?
I thought it was great being saved.
What's that? Family member. Okay, so Myra said family members being saved. Yeah, family members being saved. Somebody over here, say it again.
The different graded choirs.
Graded choirs.
Sanctuary.
Say that. A packed sanctuary. Here's what I know. I know that people are getting excited that they're going to have to start cleaning the balcony out. The loft, so the balcony. So we'll keep that with packed sanctuary. That's good. By the way, does anybody know how many people our sanctuary holds?
825.
How much?
825.
825. All right, so.
That's not crap for choir loft. I thought it was so fast.
All right, let's say 1,000 just for fun. Either way, we got some growing to do. That's good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not. I just want to hear your dreams. Dreams, dreams. Yes, ma'am.
I think more community outreach.
More community outreach. In what way?
Well, activities that involve us with them and them with us.
All right. Activities in community. One of the things that Myra and I dreamed about since we were a part of the. Last year when we went out and set up our little stand for hot chocolate at the parade is that this year we have a float in it. That's one of those things that we'd like to do. Not many people walk by once the parade starts. They didn't come by and get our stuff. So we're going to go to them. We'll walk up and down in one of the parades between the 13,000 dance teams they've got in Concord. We'll put a church right in the middle of that.
I want a disaster relief trailer and men to go when there's a trouble, and we're going to go get it. We're going to make them better, and we're going to love them with the Lord. That's what I want.
Disaster, relief, trailer, and men.
Because you'd be surprised how much people talk to you if they got a tree on their house and they want it off.
That's good. That's good. What else?
Double our Sunday school classes.
Double our Sunday school classes.
Triple.
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 All right.
Let's start with double.
Hey, let me take the time. I don't have a lot of time to tell you I told you so. Sunday school class. But I'm going to tell you I told you so. And this is not just to say, look, we know what we're talking about. You need to trust us. This is a celebration. All right, so a year ago, we said we need more Sunday school classes. And one of the classes that was so sacrificial in this was Walt's class, that class that's down in the multi-purpose room. And they were the ones that really gave the most. One of the teachers, all the teachers came out of that class for the new classes. And in two of those classes, all the students came out of that class. All right? So that class paid the biggest price for what we did. But I want you to know that on this last Sunday morning, I don't know the exact number. Jimmy, do you know it?
Not in the class.
When I walked into that class that gave the most, they were back to the size they were when they gave. All right, so I want you to remember this because I'm not done saying it. I know Ms. Willeen's not, but you need to hear this. Multiplying classes works. It works. It's proven. I've had so many churches look at me like I was an idiot when I say this. We've been doing this for hundreds of years. We know it works. The problem is we don't like it. It makes us feel icky to have to go somewhere new or do something else. But if we want, if we really want to double or triple our Sunday school classes, that's the way to do it. And it won't take a year to be back to the way you were. Remember, I've already told you this. And I'm not done saying it. I've already told you this. We will never be the same again. Even if it's exactly the same group here next Wednesday night, we will be different based on what the Lord does for us, through us, in us, and to us in the next week. What keeps us from breaking that mason jar, in fact, the biggest mason jar, is the fear of the future. Being afraid of what's coming next. But I want you to understand that even if you stay in it, in the mason jar, it's not staying the same. It's changed. So change, I hate to say this, change is inevitable. We're going to change. We've changed since I first got here 2 years ago. We've changed. Change is inevitable. So we ought not to fear it. We ought to harness it. We ought to embrace it and use it for us. And that's one of those ways. I didn't mean to preach, but if we want our Sunday school to continue to grow, that's the way you do it. Because what happens is, if Myra and I, she's not here, she's in the back. If Myra and I came in, went through the line, walked out here, and she and I are walking and we're new and we're looking around, I would not be able to come and join this group right here with my wife. Because there's just one chair. And even if Brother Jim jumped up and said, oh, you're new here. We're excited that you're here. Take my chair. I'll go sit somewhere else. Even that, we'll leave and we'll say, I felt bad that he had to give up his chair for us. Let's go find somewhere else besides that. And that happens. So there's only one place. There's two places in this group that if two of us came in, we could go. What we need to do, and what doing this with Sunday school classes does, is it creates lots of those opportunities. And you don't displace anybody when you go in. And so that's the whole background for it. You may say, Pastor, I'm never doing it. And that's fine. You just won't grow. So, any else? Somebody else's dreams. An intentional missions program.
From young people all the way to my age and older.
Intentional missions program.
From birth to the grave.
Those of you who've been Southern Baptists for a long time, you remember RSGAs, Missing Friends, Acteens, all of that. We kind of, like everything else, it had a shelf life, and we lost lots of our teaching and history when we lost that. Yes. Yep. Somebody else. Miss Karen.
Well, I'm going another time, but I love to see our young men that have taken part in our church passing out collection plates and involved. That is just a wonderful feeling. I'm saying.
More involvement of all ages. Yeah. More involvement.
They're excited. You can tell they're very nice and they're very inviting. And this is good for them and good for us.
You can thank Harry for that.
Well, I don't know about that.
All right, that's good. That's good. So when I dream about a church, I dream about the Lord using that church to set aside lots of young people, and not so young people, for the ministry. So, not just, I don't mean they have to go and be paid and go to seminary and all that. I don't mean that. I just mean that they say, you know, God has gifted me in teaching, or God has gifted me in evangelism, or God has gifted me in strategic thinking, and I want to use it for His glory. Whether it's in that church, or whether it's to go somewhere else, or whether it's to go to seminary, maybe go into the mission field. The mark of a healthy church is God setting aside people from that church to go do His to go do his work. That's just a, I mean, and, well, anyway. That's my dream. So when I dream, that's so when I pray, because I dream that, when I pray for our church, that's one of the things I pray for us. Lord, you raise up the next generation of ministers and missionaries and church people, men and women, to really be your kind of people. All right. Any other dreams that I missed? So a diversity of people. Like Revelation
7. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Anybody else?
Larger preschool.
Larger preschool. Larger preschool. You mean on Sunday mornings and one down there?
ABC preschool.
Yeah, yeah. ABC preschool. By the way, the Lord is doing great things there. Many of those folks that were here last week were from our ABC preschool. That is a huge thing. By the way, if you want, I'm going to step out on a limb here. If you want to be a part of loving on those ABC preschoolers, think about this. Think about coming in once or twice a month. In the morning when they get here between 8:30 and 9, come in and stand out there and greet them and pray for them as they come in. I mean, you don't have to stop them and say, hey, let me pray for you like that or anything. Just pray for them as they walk by. Soon you'll know their names. Soon you'll know what color of cars they're driving. And then soon you'll know their parents' names.
Preschoolers are driving?
Yeah, their parents are. And then you'll know, and then you'll know them, and they'll feel welcome here. Anyway, that's an opportunity. So, what are we going to accomplish with all this? We're going to grasp our uniqueness. Starting next week, we're going to look at what makes us unique. There's some things that I'll walk us through, but it's called the kingdom concept. And so, we are going to arrive at our kingdom concept. What makes us us? And we'll get there. Eventually, we'll have it down to a 10-word sentence, 10 words or less sentence that says, this is who we are and what we're supposed to do. We're going to understand our anchoring principles. This is that mission frame I talked you through. The things that anchor us and make us who we are. And that's going to come. I'm not going to impose that on you. You're going to bring it out, just like we talk about some of these things today. We're going to see our future possibilities. This is the vision proper, that middle picture of the mountain in the back and the road going to it. And that'll be about January when we get there. We're going to look and see, okay, where's God taking us with all this? These dreams. So anyway, somebody name the song?
Heart.
Very good. I'm impressed. So, especially since I'm a bad singer. These dreams that we put, what would it take us to do this? So we need the roadway. We need to figure out how do we get there from here. So that's what that vision does. Future possibilities. We'll determine the path to get there. It's a thing called the horizon storyline. It breaks it down into mountaintops and milestones and how to actually move step by step from here to there and accomplish what God wants for us to do. What I want you to see, I want you to get revved up about it. I want you to recognize that whatever we do is going to come from us as we ask the Lord what He wants us to do. At no time, and this is the strength of this process, at no time will me or Aaron or somebody else walk in here and say, this is what we got to do, like it or lump it. Now, you have to understand that not 100 of us are going to all agree on the same thing. So it's going to have to be a consensus, not a complete unanimity. So there may be something that you don't like, but that's okay. We had a good supper tonight, and I'm sure there was something that you didn't like tonight. You may not like the salsa, or you may not like the sour cream, or whatever. You don't eat it. Don't take it. So just recognize that we're not going to all be super jazzed up about everything. In fact, some of you may have heard me talk about how to double a Sunday school class, and you're like, I don't want to do that again. I'm never going to do it. I don't want to do it. Well, you don't have to. You have to understand what the rest of us are, because or whatever it is. You just have to understand that we're going to move along together. It won't be my vision. It'll be our vision. And there may be something that I just like, well, I don't know. That's not my thing. But if everybody's like, yeah, that's our thing, Pastor, then what I would do is like, all right, if that's your thing, we're going to do it. So that's where we need to come. So I'm just trying to be open here that we're going to move forward. At the end of all of this, we're going to use it. We're not going to print a bunch of placemats and put them in the drawer in there and not ever use them again. After we come to the end of this, we're going to start doing this story. We're going to start moving through the vision. And we're going to align ourselves in that way so that we can make the best with what God has given us. There's a story in the book of Judges about a guy named Shamgar. Who knows Shamgar? There's a verse about Shamgar. His whole life wrapped up in one verse. It says he took an ox goad and killed a bunch of people. That was Shamgar. Shamgar the judge. The sermon outline is this. He took what he had and did what he could for the glory of God. He took an ox goad, killed a bunch of people for God's glory. He took what he had and did what he could for God's glory. That's what we're going to do with all this. We're going to take what we have, do what we can for God's glory. And that is where we're headed. Before I close, are there any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. But with the potential for all this growth, do you think we could have like an intentional mission or group just to onboard new members and their families and like actually pull them in? Sometimes when you're the new person, it's
difficult. It is. Yes, absolutely. Yes, all of those things. And by the way, even if we weren't doing this, we ought to be doing that. You see what I mean? Those are things. If you were here Sunday, and I know not many came on Sunday, the deacons and the church council, but I actually showed them a list of things that are on my radar of that we need almost yesterday. And one of those is how to bring new members in and do that. You say, what else is on your list? Intentional prayer time, where we pray more than what we're praying now as a group.
Membership.
Yeah, membership. We need to get control of what it looks like to be a member here and those kinds of things. There are some people who believe there's them to be members and we've lost record of it and all that kind of stuff. We got to fix that. Our directory crew knows that full well. In fact, I've heard them twice dress me down about our membership. So there are some things. There's about 10 things. We need a pipeline of leadership. We need to be able to bring people along so that we have people who are able to do what they need to do. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to do, Ms. Delaney, and that's one of them for sure.
That came under map to connected.
Yeah, a map. I call it a map to connectedness. How does somebody get connected into our church? And so, yes. So all of these things are things that are for sure on our radar. What I don't want to do is do a lot of work before we do this work. So we have to change it or something. I want to do it all at one time and we move forward to it.
Okay.
So that's a great question. Thank you, Ms. Levine. Anybody else? Questions? The other thing is, as I see Riley move off, let me just tell you, I've invited our youth to be a part of this. There may be a time where they get, this is so boring, and they don't want to be here. And if that's the case, I've already told Brother Aaron, go ahead and take them out and do that. But as long as they want to be here, I want them to be here. This is their church too. And in some ways, this is more their church than our church, if you know what I mean. And so we want them included in this process. So that's good. All right. Let me pray for you, and we'll dismiss. Lord, thank you for the night. Thank you for the opportunity to dream. Lord, what a neat what neat dreams you've given us already. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to just wrap our arms around some of this. Lord, I thank you for the milestones that are in our past, things that, moments that we saw your handiwork through us. And Lord, I pray that even if we don't do it exactly like it was done in the past, that we would be able to have more of those kinds of moments in front of us. Lord, I pray you do something wonderful in us. Kindle our hearts, Lord. As individuals, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would equip us, and that we would do what you've called us to do. As a group, Lord, I pray we love one another, love those who are outside of here, and Lord, that we would exist for their coming to know Christ and being shaped into the form of a disciple. Lord, have your way with us. Encourage us. Let us get excited over this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Yeah, that's mine. I didn't write everything, but yeah.